Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Chuck Hammond broadcasting live from the global headquarters of the 401k Study Group. Very big week this week, three podcasts in a row. Very excited to have Mr. Pat Jarrett on today. We are going to be talking about HSAs and what 401k-centric advisors should know. For those of you who don't know Pat is the co-founder and currently the ambassador at Health Savings Administrators. They are located in Richmond, Virginia, and I personally needed an education on this and had the opportunity to meet Pat at the FI 360 conference, and we had so many interesting things to talk about, and with the current legislation going on down in D.C., I thought it would be a good idea to have Pat come on and talk about the intersection of 401k plans and HSAs. So, Pat, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Chuck. Thank you. And good morning to you.
Well, it's great having you on today. So, if you don't mind, usually at the beginning, I let most of my guests introduce themselves because you typically know you better than I know you. And secondarily, before we get into the meat of the podcast, let folks know the best way to get a hold of you or someone at HSA so they don't have to go digging around and wait until the end if something happens. So the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. Just to introduce myself here real quickly, Pat Jarrett, I'm one of the co-founders of Health Savings Administrators. And we've been in the HSA business since January 1 of 2004, when HSAs came into existence. We're a little different than the other HSA providers out there in that we are not a bank, and we have always emphasized the investment side of health savings accounts, which is, I think, part of what appealed to you and got me here this morning. So we've always allowed people that first dollar investing, and then they can, of course, have a debit card if they want one. So we approach the HSAs a little differently, tell the story a little differently, and because of that, we get a different result. We've got a good chunk of our business is invested. In fact, if you look at what the industry-wide is doing, there's about 85% of HSA dollars are in cash, industry-wide, and about 15% invested. And for us, it's just the opposite. We've got almost 90% invested, and I think it's 13% that we've got sitting in cash, despite the fact that our folks all have debit cards, too. So that's who we are and how we look at this thing differently.
Pat, thank you very much. And that was absolutely one of the I wouldn't say the catalyst, but more kind of that needling thought in the back of my head. You know, one of the things that we try to do here at the 401k Study Group is give advisors tools that help them scale. And more importantly, in the majority of the conversations that I am fortunate enough to have with advisors, many of them are looking for something that will help them stand out. So when you talk about a different story and a different result, that's really what prompted me to get you on. And more importantly, I'll be candid. I know enough about HSAs to be dangerous. I know what they are, and I know some of the rules, but I would absolutely not say that I am an expert. But secondarily, I've never thought it was a way to leverage your way into a retirement plan, or secondarily, be able to provide a service that most of the current, let's just say, implementers of those HSA plans can do. So just so we can do a little recap, so you're on the same page, the listeners are on the same page, give me the basics, the key features and benefits of a health savings account.
All right, well, I'll try to keep this brief. Basically, it's pretty simple. Health savings accounts, the biggest draw is the fact that there's triple tax savings. You get a deduction for putting the money in. While it sits in there and grows, the taxes are deferred. And if you pull it out for medical expenses, there's no taxes on the withdrawals, which is different than any other retirement kind of vehicle where you're either taxed on the front end, like in a Roth, or you're taxed on the back end, like in a 401k. So tax savings, number one. It's an above-the-line deduction, so even millennials who don't have a house, a mortgage to claim a deduction on, everybody can get the same deduction. You know, The other piece is that the money rolls over from year to year. Unlike a flexible spending account, and a lot of folks get HSAs and FSAs mixed up, but a flexible spending account, you've got to spend that money every year. A health savings account, you can roll it over year to year. You do not have that use it or lose it issue that you have to cope with. The other thing, you can use it for your spouse, yourself, and your tax dependents, even if they're on different insurance. So as long as you've got medical expenses for those people that are claimed on your tax return, you can use your HSA dollars tax-free. And here's the piece that I think a lot of folks miss, and it's the piece that excites most advisors. You can have a bill, medical expense, here in 2017. You can pay that bill out of pocket and shoebox that receipt, hold that receipt for an indefinite period of time, and pay yourself back later in life. So you might have braces for the kids here in 2017. Shoebox those receipts, pay that off, to be honest. And 10 years from now, when your kids are graduating from college, you can take those receipts, go back to your HSA. Now that money's been sitting invested for 10 years, you can pull those dollars out and reimburse yourself. And that money comes out tax-free because you had that receipt back in 2017. So that's in a nutshell, kind of the key elements that excite folks about health savings accounts.
Well, Pat, thank you. I mean, getting the actual five or six things that make it exciting for advisors is why we're on the phone today. And I know that we didn't talk about this earlier, but would you mind giving a couple of minutes on why you have a different story and why you're getting a different result?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we've always seen these as part of the retirement discussion. And if you look around at what's going on today, there's been all kinds of studies. EBRI does studies, Plan Sponsor Council. And what these studies show time after time is that there's two things that are worrying employees: retirement and healthcare expenses. And for those of us who are closer to retirement, the idea of how do I pay my healthcare expenses in retirement is kind of the culmination of those two issues. So that's what's driving us, and what has driven us from day one, is that the HSA should be, in our minds, part of a comprehensive retirement strategy, which then, of course, leads us to, we want to talk to advisors about that. By doing that, though, one of the things that we've done differently than most of the other HSA providers out there is when we started out, I'll give you an example here, we had mutual funds available, and if you wanted a debit card, you actually paid extra for it. So we started with, this is an investment account, and oh, by the way, we'll make it convenient for you if you really need that. But our mentality was totally different, and that's why we've attracted and converted spenders into savers. That's why we've got so much money sitting in mutual funds, where the average bank out there, of course, their business model is quite different, but the average bank out there has all their money sitting in cash, and they're focused on transactions and accumulating those assets in a deposit account.
I think that will, in fact, lead to a different result and a different story. So let's jump in. Most of the next few questions I want to ask you, I'm going to frame them around where we are currently, not where you see this going in the future. And I will ask you to play Nostradamus and speculate about that for a little bit. Describe how you see health savings accounts and 401ks intersecting currently. I know you said that, you know, there are two big concerns. This is a part of a retirement plan, and it's also about health insurance. It's about how do you pay for it when you get there. But where do you see them working together now? And, are, you know, in your opinion, are they working well together? And secondarily, if they're not, you know, why aren't they working well together?
Well, I think they're not working well, and I don't think there's a big intersection right now. And let me just put some numbers behind that. Currently, there's 170 million health insurance policies out there, and about 20 million of those qualify people to have an HSA. So that's only 12%, which means 88% of the people don't have access to opening and funding a health savings account now. So if you think about that, by extension, we would say 88% of the 401k owners out there don't have an intersection with their health savings account. So there really isn't, in any grand scale, any kind of intersection with 401ks and HSAs out there. The other piece is that most of the health savings accounts that are being marketed and sold are being promoted by insurance carriers and or insurance brokers. For them, the crux of their business, you know, the core of their business is selling the insurance policy. The health savings account is tangential to that, you know, is an add-on. So there's not the enthusiasm to push the HSAs, especially to push them as part of the retirement plan. That's just not on their radar screen. And if that's not an indictment, that's just a statement of fact. That's not what these guys do. So short answer to the first question, I don't see an intersection. So if you'd be kind enough to repeat the second part, I'll see if I can respond to that.
No, I think you answered it. I think that I said, you know, where are they working together? And you were quite articulate and presented data that says, Chuck, you know, we've got 170 million health insurance policies out there, and only 12% are allowed to have an HSA. So there is really, truly, whether you and I like it or not, and I don't think we should like it, I think we should want more folks to have access to this. Or the flip side of that, as you said, was 88% of retirement plans have no current access to an HSA. And I, like I said, I don't know if that's good or that's bad, but I always think that, you know, you should always have the best tools when you go out to do the job. And I think maybe part of the challenge is the current business model for a lot of the people who are sort of first boots on the ground when you start talking about HSAs. So I'm going to ask you a loaded question. And the loaded question is, you're talking with a lot of advisors, whether it's over the phone, at a conference, in person, in a venue like this. What reaction are you getting from the advisor when you present them with who you are, the stats that you just said to me, and the potential opportunity? Are they excited? Are they not excited? Are they skeptical? What is the actual reaction?
Well, it's been an interesting evolution because I've been having these conversations with advisors directly now for about 4 years. And in the early days, they were like, hey, this is great. I've actually got something different to talk about when I go to my quarterly meeting with the 401k folks, the plan sponsor. So the initial enthusiasm, like something different to say, and they were quite happy that that was just enough. As we've started to do more and more education through FI360, other places like that, what we've found is as the advisors really get a handle on what this thing can do, as they can see that it's a long-term solution to a long-term problem, that is funding healthcare, and they can see how they can play a part in it, and quite bluntly, they can get compensated for it now because we've got a model that allows them to put together a lineup of funds and manage that and monitor that for both the plan sponsor and the participant. Now they can see that it is actually part of what they can do. And we've finally gotten past that whole thing of HSAs are small balances and high transactions. You know, if we can teach them to tell the story like we tell it, we find out, number one, our balances are like four times what the average HSA balance is out there, so that we don't have low balances. And because these people are savers, we've got folks that don't have a whole lot of transactions. They shoebox these receipts, and some of them cash them in once a year. Some of them wait years and years to cash them in. So we took away a lot of the objections. And what we're seeing now is advisors who are saying, how do I do this? They're not asking, is this a good idea, or teach me about it? It's like, how do I do it? They're excited because they've got a different product. They've got a better solution. And in the background, one thing that's going on here, if you look at 401k dollars, right now we know that there's a net outflow in the 401k world, that there's more dollars going out than coming in. So a lot of these advisors are just saying, maybe HSAs are the new 401k. Maybe that's the way to stop the outflow of these retirement dollars and still keep assets under management, which, of course, keeps them in business, but also does something good for their clients.
Let's be honest, Pat. Is there an opportunity for advisors? Let's say they're not excited today. Let's say they listen to this and they go, yeah, but is there an opportunity? And I'll sort of give you my two cents, and then you can let me know what you think. You're not building the business for today. You're building the business for 5 years from now. You're building the business so when you are at the point and you need to sell it or you want to bring in a partner, there's something that looks a little bit different. Even though these right. balances aren't tremendous, they're not millions of dollars as an aggregate, you're building it for a future generation. So, you know, here's my question right back at you. Is it truly an opportunity for advisors, or is this really just lipstick on a pig?
No, I really do think it's an opportunity. I mean, we've got folks, again, I'm going to go back to we tell the story differently, so we get different reactions, but we've got folks who have been savers and investors since 2004. So we're 13 and a half years into this thing. These people have $175,000, $200,000, $225,000 in health savings accounts. Now, granted, not everybody does that, but the reality is that these, when you start to look at a plan sponsor with 500 to 1,000 employees, and you start to multiply that times $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, you know, average balance, or if you can turn them into savers, $6,000 to $7,000 worth of contributions every year. This sounds to me an awful lot like the early days of IRAs and 401ks when, you know, you couldn't put so much in there, but over time it starts to add up. So I think it's an opportunity. And let me add one more piece to that. I look around, I said there's 20 million HSAs, as we talked about earlier, 170 million people with health insurance. I can tell you here today, those people that have the high deductible are going to continue to have that high deductible. Those employers, those plan sponsors, are not going to all of a sudden drop the high deductible and shift back to those Cadillac, you know, health care plans. They can't afford to do it. And the employers who don't have the high deductible, or the employees who have not yet moved to that high deductible, that 170 million, that 150 million difference is going to start to shrink and shrink and shrink. So HSAs are not going away. I mean, we've got too many people. We've got almost $40 billion in HSAs invested today, and we've only touched the tip of the iceberg. So is it an opportunity? Obviously, I think it is, but I think there's some data to support me.
Well, your evidence isn't anecdotal, and that's what's important. And I very much like how you equated it to the early days of the IRA market. You know, what we're talking about, and I think that the one word that's come up more often than not in this short conversation is the word different. Advisors need mm-hmm. to stand out. They need to be different. They need to be talking about things that maybe the incumbent or a competitor isn't talking about. It's a relatively untapped market just from the number standpoint, but with $40 billion inside of it, and I would be willing to guess 85% of that still sitting in cash at a bank or a savings institution or a credit union.
Right.
There's a really big opportunity for an advisor who, as you said, and I wrote it down, come up with a solution to a long-term problem. So let's talk real briefly about the HS Council with PSCA, you guys did a survey earlier this year. What did you learn mm-hmm. about the employers, plan sponsors, and HSAs? Give us a couple of takeaways from that survey.
Well, it actually there were, I guess, not so many surprises as confirmations for us, but that's a lot of the folks that are on that council and that did that survey are in the field, so they kind of get it. But what we found out is that an awful lot of employers, I think of the study that we did with PSCA, is about three quarters of them thought that FSAs really weren't the wave of the future, that if those went away, they wouldn't really miss them, but that health savings accounts were in fact what they were going to see as a funding tool going forward. So a lot of buy-in from PSCA members. In all fairness, these guys have impressed me as being early adopters of stuff, so I think they're a bit ahead of where the average plan sponsor or average employer is out there. The other thing that I saw, and this is consistent with our book of business, and we saw this in the survey, is that these employers are willing to put money into the HSA for their people. They're willing to make that employer contribution. And it's averaging somewhere in the, it ranges from $500 to $1,000, averages around $700, you know, $500 for those folks with individual coverage, $1,000, you know, for the others, for the family coverage. So willing to put the money in, willing to pay the fees, and finally, they believe that HSAs are here to stay. So they're optimistic about it. They see potential in it, and which if you're an advisor, you kind of go, well, if they're the ones that are driving the bus, if they're going to install these things, they're be there for me as the advisor.
I would tend to agree. So I know I told you I'd only keep you about 20 minutes. We're at 20, but I do have two more questions for you before I let you go. You've been more than generous with your time. The first question is, insights or tips for plan sponsors? I mean, we're talking about a lot. The majority of people, the majority of employees with health insurance out there do not have this. So what are some tips or insights from employers and plan sponsors who want to put these things in place for their people?
Okay. If you want to put one in place and make it successful, you know, pay attention to those. And that PSCA study can be downloaded. But pay attention to what folks said there, you know, that make a contribution. This is especially critical in the early phases of transitioning people over because it's a totally different animal from the participant's level. They're used to that $25 copay. So an employer contribution to soften the blow, provide some seed money, goes a long, long way. It also changes the psychological perspective. You know, as people start to see their money grow, they're more likely to add to it. So you want to teach them to start to become savers on that. Pay the fees. I've seen people leave a $500 employer contribution on the table because they didn't want to pay a $30 fee. It makes no sense, but we as humans often do things that don't make sense. The other piece that I really, really, really would stress to anybody who's thinking of getting into this is start thinking about it now and start educating your employees now. Education is to health savings accounts what location is to real estate. You just need to educate. So do it early, do it often, drip on people so that they start to see that this is a true sea change in how they think about their health care, and it's a true change in how responsible they are for their health care. So put money in, pay the fees, educate the heck out of them. And if you happen to have a witness or a financial wellness program, talk to those guys because they're going to be your biggest advocates internally in your organization to help move people into this health savings account thing.
Well, Pat, thank you very much. Last question, and I'll let you go, I promise. Play Nostradamus. Let's speculate on the futures of HSAs either in general, maybe based on the stats from your survey, or what are we going to see with HSAs under the current administration? Speculate. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but give me your best educated hypothesis.
Well, if they call me today and ask me what should they do here, I would say, they being the Congress or President Trump, I would tell them to do a couple of things, and I really can't predict, but I'll tell them what I would do. I would first of all make HSAs available to everybody. The reason being is that this problem of healthcare expenses, I mean, increasing is not going away. We've seen healthcare expenses increase at twice the consumer price index for the last 35 years. This is not a short-term problem. It started a long time ago when all of us were kids, and it's going to continue. So let's make HSAs available to everybody. Maybe you need to tweak the tax code a little bit so that there's some issues of fairness in there, but let's do that for everybody. The idea of increasing the contribution limits is a good one, but only 12% of people actually, or 15% of people actually fully fund their HSAs. So that's going to help some people, but that's not really going to make a big, big difference here. And the other piece that I think would help the average guy out there is bring back the idea that you can use your HSAs, your HSA dollars, to pay for over-the-counter medications. You know, the ibuprofen, the stuff that allows people to be better consumers, because sometimes you don't need that painkiller. You just need a couple more ibuprofen. And if we can get people thinking in that regard, what's the easiest way to fix whatever this ailment is? Now, all of a sudden, we're saving money and they're becoming better consumers. So give everybody an HSA and bring back over-the-counter medication would be my two my two pieces right there.
Excellent. So, Pat, I want to thank you very much for being a guest today. Very insightful. I wrote down, which is not uncommon, a whole bunch of things that I will hold on to, and hopefully we'll get you back on here, you know, maybe towards the end of the summer, and maybe we can start talking marketing and actual implementation and how these advisors actually go out and get and garner some attention for knowing about what this thing is. So we'll talk about the doing versus the education part. So once again, if folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to reach you or somebody at HSA?
Easiest way to get to us is at healthsavings.com. One word, healthsavings.com. Our phone number, email address, contact us, all that is there. Or they can call 800-888-354-6797. 888-354-6797. All right. Thank you, Chuck.
Excellent. Pat, thank you very much for being on. It was a really good pleasure for me. Very insightful as always. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Happy 4th of July. And I hope to have you back on soon. So thank you.
Great. Look forward to it. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.